This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop here. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going
on. I won't see.
There is a senator from Vermont who has a different take on that.
Well,
he says he's going to fight to the end.
Yeah.
And there seems to be a change here as Donald Trump is trying to galvanize his party. In the Democratic Party, it seems to be going the other way. His supporters have become more aggressive, feeling that the system is rigged against the senator. We saw what happened in Nevada. When you saw that, did you believe that Sanders responded the right way to that situation?
Well, I was very disturbed by what went on there. But I am confident.
With him or with the supporters?
Well, what we saw. What we saw
the
there.
Supporters.
Well, what we saw was disturbing. And, you know, I have every confidence we're going to be unified. I understand.
Where does that confidence come from?
Well, in part from my own experience, you know.
Well, that's what she puts it on, is that, you know, Scott, that, you know, her experience says they're going to be able to pull this together. But, wow, they're just, you know, this is the thing you and I talked about before, just even with the Republicans, is that you were losing time here, you know, trying to figure out who was going to be the presumptive nominee, and it always seemed that, you know, the Democrats were pretty well set that it was going to be Hillary. I mean, it still is going to be Hillary. I don't think there's any doubt in that, but still, I mean, she's being wounded at every turn. The longer that Bernie stays alive and he's pushing all the way to the end here, it starts to become very, very inconvenient. And
well, I feel like this is a case of the age old you know, the pot calling the kettle black. I mean, there's a lot of other stories out there right now about she made the comments on Egypt Air. We have those here. Let me play those quick.
Problems of the world are upon us.
That's
Once
true.
Again, we see in the headline this morning, Egypt Air. They're now finding debris in Greek waters. The Greek authorities, the Egyptian authorities, all saying that they believe this was terror as much as anything else.
Mm-hmm.
They're not there investigatively yet, but if that's the theory, it is a reminder to people, not just of the loss of these families, but somehow the loss in the battle against terror. What is your message, and what do you believe the response should be to make something like this less likely?
Well, Chris, it does appear that it was an act of terrorism, exactly how, of course, the investigation will have to determine. But it, once again, shines a very bright light on the threats that we face from organized terror groups. ISIS, of course, but then there are other networks of terrorists that have to be hunted down and defeated. And I think it reinforces the need for American leadership, for the kind of smart, steady leadership that only America can provide, in working with our allies, our partners, our friends in Europe, the Middle East, and elsewhere, because we have to have a concerted effort that brings to bear both domestic resources, sharing of intelligence, take a hard look at airport security one more time. Whatever needs to be done must be done. The world depends upon air travel. We can't allow it to be interrupted or people be intimidated. And to continue to take the fight, although it needs to be even more intensified, against ISIS from where it is running its op here, that it was an act of terrorism, exactly how, of course, the investigation will have to determine. But it, once again, shines a very bright light on the threats that we face from organized terror groups. ISIS, of course, but then there are other networks of terrorists that have to be hunted down and defeated. And I think it reinforces the need for American leadership, for the kind of smart, steady leadership that only America can provide, in working with our allies, our partners, our friends in Europe, the Middle East, and elsewhere, because we have to have a concerted effort that brings to bear both domestic resources, sharing of intelligence, take a hard look at airport security one more time. Whatever needs to be done must be done. The world depends upon air travel. We can't allow it to be interrupted or people be intimidated. And to continue to take the fight, although it needs to be even more intensified, against ISIS from where it is running its operations in Syria.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Purchase a ProPure system during the Crazy May sale and get a free ProMax shower filter or water filter pitcher. Remove up to 200 contaminants with the Pro1G 2.0 truly cleanable, reusable filter. We don't stretch our claims. We just deliver performance. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. You better stop, hey, what's that sound?
It's Bill Martinez, and we're live at just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour. America, it's always good to have you along with us, and it's time to take one of those mental breaks. You know, it's always good. You know, we talk about the heavy stuff, whether it's issues of faith or the politics and the world of the political campaigns, because they're all over us big time. But, hey, we're fortunate enough. We get a little bit of relief. We got Michael Loftus with us, one of the busiest national performer writers in comedy today. He's host of The Flip Side with Michael Loftus on TV and The Loftus Party on radio. Michael Loftus, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Coming off a pretty big weekend, pretty big comedic weekend.
Yeah, there was comedy all over the place, including what was going on with the correspondence dinner, huh?
I always love it. I always love it. And I don't know when they're gonna learn. Never put the comic on after the president. The president is the closer. It's like trying to follow the Rolling Stones or the Beatles. Yeah. You just don't do it. The president is always going to win.
Or a cute little kid with a dog, right? I mean,
right?
Forget it. You're done. Ain't going to happen.
Don't follow the little kid with the dog. The orphan with the puppy. Never do that.
Exactly. Well, but Wilmore, you know, there he is. He's doing what he can. And, boy, some of the – I guess maybe he just had to have fun and maybe just shock people because he was, after all, the anchor to the whole thing, right?
Yeah, you know what? The two things that most people are, I think, talking about today is like the Ted Cruz Zodiac Killer run, which was kind of funny, and then him dropping the N bomb on Obama at the very close, and that I thought was it was a choice. It was a choice. I think it was a bad choice. I wouldn't have done it. But it just reminds me, you know, there's words that, you know, white guys can't say. There's cartoons that we can't draw. I think white people should have a word that enrages us. And right now I think it should be filing cabinet.
Well, why not? I mean, you know, but I thought all filing cabinets matter now, don't they?
Yes. All right. So maybe let's switch it to stapler. It's either stapler or filing cabinet.
Okay.
When somebody says that, all staplers matter.
You can be outraged. I mean, why not?
Yes.
But yeah, that's amazing though. But what did you think about Obama? He dropped a little bomb of his own on Chuck Todd.
Oh, you know what? I must have missed that part. What was the Chuck Todd joke?
Yeah, he kind of dropped a little bit of the lip sync F bomb on him.
Oh, okay, yeah, that was all right. I really liked his Jake Tapper joke, where he's Jake Tapper decided to get out of journalism and join CNN. I laughed out loud at that. That was just a great joke.
That was hysterical. And I especially loved the bromance between he and Boehner, huh?
Yeah. It's all very good. See, we're talking about the president. He did great. Don't follow the president. I mean, Larry Wilmore, just don't even try to do it. Next year, hopefully, they listen. When I go out and I do comedy at a corporate event, I always make sure they're done with dessert, right? They have their dinner, they finish their little chocolate souffle thing, then I start. I'm not funnier than chocolate souffle. I'm just not.
Well, you're chocolate souffle interrupt us, buddy, and you can't afford that. I mean, you know.
There's nothing worse than trying to enjoy your dessert than some idiot starts telling jokes.
Exactly. Well, you know, because otherwise it ends up being spit across the, you know, the table there, and people get a little nervous and anxious about all that kind of stuff.
That's
but,
when you know you've done well, when people are choking on their dessert, when people are trying not to pee. That's the best.
That's right. Well, Michael, we've been real serious about this political season. You got Hillary and Bernie, and there were some good comments there. The president took a couple shots on Bernie, and even you talked about that Bernie appears harder for Hillary to kill than Rasputin, huh?
She won't. She is like the multi-headed Hydra. You chop off one head, she grows two more. It is it is an amazing thing to watch. Unfortunately, it is the future of our country, so it does matter.
But, really, yeah.
You know, when historians look back at the Hillary Clinton campaign, they'll just be amazed.
Yeah.
that she's under an active FBI investigation and she's still the front runner.
Well, it's a review, Michael. It's not an investigation. You didn't know that the FBI changed their whole policy just to accommodate her and Bill. And
yeah.
They don't do investigations anymore. They just do reviews.
Well, that's what I want. I tell you what, when the IRS comes after me, I just want a review. I don't want an audit.
Yeah, exactly. I just want the Hillary review. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, that's what we should do. Whenever I get in trouble with the law, I'm going to be like, hey, you guys, don't arrest me. Just give me the Hillary review.
It works for me. Hey, you also talked last week about this bromance that went nowhere between John and Ted's excellent adventure. What happened here, man? Was this a misfire or what?
It was the most poorly conceived alliance in the history of Survivor. I mean, when the entire voting population on the left and the right, we're all tired of like backroom deals and secret handshakes and blah 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 blah. So when you realize this, when you realize the entire voting populace is tired of like secret deals, don't do a secret deal. Don't start divvying up votes. Yeah. Right in front of everybody. I think Kasich, whose dad's a postman. I don't know if you knew that about John Kasich.
Yes, I did. I did.
My
know
dad's
that, yeah.
a postman. He's got like it's like my dad's a postman Tourette's. It's like Marco Rubio being the son of immigrants. We get it. We can move on.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And learn how to eat your pancakes, according to Donald Trump. I mean, he's got everybody pancake weary. I had a pancake the other day. All of a sudden, I mean, I haven't eaten pancakes in probably over a year, and I thought, hey, I'm going to have a pancake. I found myself making.
Have you seen the montage of John Kasich eating?
No, I have not seen it. I bet
fantastic.
It's hysterical.
Somebody put together a whole montage of just John Kasich chowing down. And I tell you what, I've never liked him more as a candidate in my life. That guy knows how to eat. And
well, that's
like,
good.
He should be big like Chris Christie big. But
yes.
he must be like a hummingbird inside.
Well, he's got the metabolism. He's got metabolism. Christie doesn't have metabolism.
That's right.
Yeah, he missed his metabolism somewhere between lunch and dinner. I think
you know
he just kind of went south.
Christie's dad wasn't a postman.
That's probably why. And he's heartbroken over that, going, Dad, I could have been a contender if you'd have been
a
postman.
Why weren't you a postman?
Yeah, exactly. Now here I am. I'm chasing behind Donald Trump like one of those animal caretakers at Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus, picking up the stuff behind, right?
Yeah, and Chris Christie can't do anything right. That poor guy went to a Springsteen show the other day trying to have a good time, and they put video of that. Look at Chris Christie trying to have fun at a Springsteen concert. Did that guy get like 1 minute alone ever?
No, not at all. Not at all. And then his wife's off to the side rolling her eyes because she didn't like the song selection.
Yeah. Oh, and hey, speaking of not liking the song selection, Carly, somebody needs to tell Carly, like, I think it's nice that you sing and you make up songs, but don't do that when you're giving a big speech, right? Like Ted Cruz, when he says, listen, I'm gonna have Carly Fiorina as my VP candidate. Okay, that's weird enough, dude. That's weird enough that you're announcing who your vice president is going to be when you're not in the lead. And then she comes out and decides to, like, just kind of riff a little song about playing with the kids on the bus.
Well, you know Saturday Night Live is going to have fun with that one.
Oh, my gosh.
Tina Fey is going to come out of retirement one more time. She's going to say, who needs Sarah Palin? I've got Carly Fiorina now, right?
I tell you what, that is so comedy ripe. It could bring Gilda Radner back.
Michael Loftus, thank you so much for being with us on Phil Martinez Live. Always, man. You got it. Anytime, buddy. Take care. Have a good one.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself, too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Do you have dry hands or itchy, peeling skin? Are your cracked feet in need of a makeover for sandal season? Hi, my name is Diane Cook, the creator of B-Spa Hand and Foot Cream. B-Spa is all natural, 16% beeswax, marigold extract, and other essential oils and nutrients. B-Spa is great for exceptionally dry hands and feet, but B-Spa can be used anywhere on the body. I am sure you will see a difference overnight. B-Spa is the only cream you will ever need. The convenient 2.5-ounce size jar travels nicely and a little goes a long way. B-Spa Hand and Foot Cream costs $29.99. Use promotion code 101 for free shipping. Order B-Spa Hand and Foot Cream today at bespa.com. That's B-E-E-S-P-A.com. That's B-E-E-S-P-A.com.
Suffering from illness or disease?
Frequently in pain?
Overstressed?
Always tired?
The solution is to oxygenate your cells because
disease cannot survive in an oxygen-rich environment.
Introducing Vital Ion, the first mineralized edible oxygen in the world. Go to toolsforfreedom.com and get the Miracle of Oxygenation DVD free with any Vital Ion purchase. Call 800-770-8802. That's 800-770-8802. Let Vital Ion edible oxygen be your daily fountain of youth.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
866-91-STEEL.
866-91-STEEL. Your program, your calls, your opinions. Phil Martinez, live.
You gotta shake, shake, shake. You gotta shake, shake, shake.
Welcome
Back America, just about 19 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, you want to go to BillMartinezLive.com. You want to drop me an email. We'd love to hear from you. NSA approved, by the way, I will add. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. You know, in spite of national socialism murdering some tens of millions and starving 100 million in the last century, one in three young voters, and we're saying here in the United States, okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're not talking about some third world country, one in three young voters say they support socialism. One in six identify as a socialist. This according to a new Harvard IOP poll. And here to break it down for us, Dr. Jay Richards, who is an economics professor at Catholic University. Dr. Richards, welcome to Bill Martinez Live.
Thanks, Bill. Great to be with you.
Okay, so break it down. This is something, as you and I were chuckling about a moment ago, Debbie Wasserman Schultz couldn't answer what a socialist was. Hillary Clinton asked the same question by Chris Matthews, the softballer of softballers,
right,
when it comes to the Democrats. I think he feels a chill up his leg no matter what, as long as he's got a Democrat in the House. Ask her this easy question, and you're going, wait a minute, you guys didn't think this question was going to be asked again when Debbie couldn't answer it?
Yeah, I mean, one of the two leading contenders for the Democratic nomination for the president of the United States has self-identified for decades as a Democratic socialist. This is Bernie Sanders, of course. He famously had his honeymoon, actually, in the Soviet Union. No one else knows what to do about this. This Harvard IOP poll is concerning because they use the word socialist. They ask millennials, 18 to 29-year-olds, okay, what do they think about it? And it's very concerning. One in three support socialism. One in six actually claim to be socialist. But if you look up the word in the dictionary, it's something like an economic system in which the state, that is the government, owns the means of production. That is, they own the factories, they own the companies. It's the most extreme form. There's no private property. The government owns everything. And you've got these young kids, most of them have passed through college since 2008, saying, yeah, we think that's a really good idea. But if you dig into it a little more, in my piece at the Stream, at stream.org, I argue that, in fact, most of these kids answering these polls have no idea what they're saying. I'm absolutely convinced if you open Merriam-Webster's, give them the textbook definition of socialism, the government owning everything, you say, no, that's not really what I want. I want free health care and free college tuition, something like that.
Exactly. Well, not only the kids, but I would dare say the politicians. It would seem to me that socialism is antithetical to what our U.S. Constitution stands for, or am I missing something here?
It's exactly the opposite. I mean, the American tradition, the American experiment, was founded on the idea of private property, individual rights, self-determination, limited government. All those things have to go out the window with socialism. You can't have people, first of all, you're not going to be able to maintain political freedom for very long. Certainly not going to have economic freedom in a really sort of strictly socialist country. The state tells you what you're going to do, how much you're going to make, what the quotas are going to be for your factory. All these things that we think of as the beauty of the American experiment have to go out the door. And so that's why very few American politicians are self-identified just as socialist. I think that's the charm of the term democratic socialist. And people hear that, I think they say, okay, so that's free health care and brotherhood of man without the gulags and the gray suits or something like that.
Yeah, here we are. Now we're back to where we were about 8 years ago when we had a politician saying something and everybody had their own idea of what he was saying. But what he said was exactly what he meant, that he was going to transform America. How do you like me now?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what's strange about it. If you'd asked me in 2008 when the president started his first four-year term, he said, okay, if you keep this up for 8 years, people will have been sick of it. Well, if anything, the pendulum will swing in the other direction. There's a segment of the population doing that. What's sort of stunning, though, is how many people, including especially young voters, have actually swung the other way. I'm convinced it's partly the result of what's been happening in colleges and partly the result of the financial crisis in 2008, which was falsely blamed on unfettered capitalism. And so, unfortunately, I think we're still languishing under that illusion.
Well, you love government. They're the ones that create the problem. Then they come on the other side of the fence and say, hey, we'll save you because those guys over there were the ones that messed it up. And those
that's
are the
right.
very guys that they unleashed on us, right?
Yes. I mean, that's the charm of what we might call cronyism. Straight socialism, if the government literally owns everything, we know who to blame. That's why the Solidarity Movement in Poland, it was a labor union, actually fought against the communist government. the United States, what we have is radical regulation so that the government behind the scenes controls more and more of private industry. But whatever happens in the private sector, the government can blame the private sector and increase its own power. I think that's the sort of charm of the type of soft socialism that's developing in this country.
Well, as you say, it has been progressive, and as progressives do, it's a micro inch at a time before you know it. You know, they're controlling everything. It shouldn't be a big surprise for us. Democratic socialists have been listed. I mean, they've been out of the closet for a long time. I think I saw a list here last year of 70 legislators. You know, their names were on it. There was no problem like saying, wait a minute, what am I doing on this list? You know, I don't belong there. I mean, they are self-determined. They are self-identified as democratic socialists, again, antithetical to the U.S. Constitution, in which they swore to uphold.
Absolutely, and that's what's sort of strange about Bernie Sanders. It's not like he wasn't even actually in the Democratic Party, and I honestly think, I don't think the DNC, I don't think Debbie Wasserman Schultz anticipated first his getting into the race and then the popularity that he has. But I do think he has something that Hillary Clinton doesn't. I mean, everybody knows, okay, Hillary maybe ideologically is a progressive, but she is an uber crony capitalist. I mean, she's perfectly happy to lambaste Wall Street, but also to get paid off by them at the same time. What Bernie Sanders has is, okay, yeah, he's kind of a crazy guy politically. He's way to the left. He is basically a democratic socialist, but he's authentic. He says what he actually thinks. And so for a certain segment of that population that's not thinking clearly about economics, I think they prefer that authenticity to the cynicism they see in Hillary Clinton. I think that's his charm. It's just frightening that here in 2016, after a century of evidence for what socialism actually does in the real world, you'll still have a majority of voters under 29 supporting Bernie Sanders on the Democratic side of the ticket. I think that's just frightening.
Yeah, well, it's more than frightening. I mean, it's like I cannot connect with her world whatsoever. And speaking of Hillary Clinton, you got to love her response when asked why she accepted, what was it, $357,000 from Goldman Sachs for a speech. She says, because that's what they offered.
Which would be fine if she actually knew what she was saying and we didn't actually think she was playing both sides of the fence, unfortunately. I mean, sure, if you're a popular speaker. The problem is that her only claim to fame is that she was married to a president of the United States and was able to acquire power as a result of that. The actual political offices she held, we know so far as if you want to evaluate her as Secretary of State, she's clearly incompetent, and now she's the leader at the moment. And so I think, you know, frankly, it's a bit of a depressing situation we're here in, right before the summer of an election year.
Well, it was rather ironic that she challenged one Barack Obama back then to say, would he be there to answer the 3 o'clock in the morning phone call? She got one with Benghazi, and what did you get, a busy tone or something?
Honestly, or she put him on hold for several hours. It's still the most bizarre thing in the world. I don't think we've seen the last of it. I still, frankly, think it's quite possible that she'll be so hobbled that, this is my conspiracy theory, is that she ends up having to drop out and Joe Biden slips in with Elizabeth Warren, and then we've really got something to worry about, because I think he's a much more pleasant figure than Hillary Clinton.
Exactly. There's no question this is going to be a lot of fun, and we'll see what happens here. It definitely gives us plenty to talk about, Dr. Richards, let me tell you.
Absolutely.
So here it is. You know, on top of that, you ask her staff, I'm talking about Hillary Clinton's staff, name me one, two things that she accomplished as Secretary of State, and you just hear crickets.
You do. They need to get their elevator speech down on that. Maybe it's just, well, being the second female Secretary of State or something like that. I don't know.
Exactly. But, you know, it's just, and you think the question comes up enough that you'd be able to come up with something, even when she was a senator. Okay, what did she do in New York as a senator? And what did she do, you know, as the first lady? And, you know, behind her, unfortunately, are all these scandals. And this is one of the main reasons that she's off my long list and even my short list, because I sit there and go, there's just too much between her and Bill, and now let's bring him back to the White House one more time.
Oh, my word. Yeah, it really is a disaster. And, of course, the problem is that the other scandal, the email, or really the server scandal, still hasn't fully been resolved. So, frankly, if I were a Democrat, I might think, okay, I think Donald Trump is going to be, in other circumstances, might be easy to beat. But Hillary is such an abysmal candidate that I honestly think she could very well likely lose.
Without a doubt. Dr. Jay Richards, economics professor at Catholic University. Jay, thank you so much for being with us.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. That's 800-808-5181.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shot the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health issue and company and other factors. Not available in all states.
Did you know a dirty CPAP system can make you sick? If you knew what could be growing in your mask and hose, you might not sleep so well. But now, SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs, and it's completely hands-free. For a limited time, you can try SoClean risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-900-0684.
SoClean changed the CPAP experience for the better. My health has improved. It's simple to use, and I'm not worried about infections.
SoClean destroys CPAP bacteria, viruses, and germs with no hassle. Never have to clean your machine by hand again. There's no water, chemicals, or disassembly. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP system is clean and fresh in minutes. Call SoClean.com to try it risk-free at home for 30 days. This is a limited-time offer, only available by calling 1-800-900-0684. That's 1-800-900-0684.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
So speak life to the dead and darkest night. Speak life when the sun won't shine and you don't know why. Look into the eyes of the broken hearted. You speak hope, you speak love, you speak.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, it's all about you, ladies and gentlemen, just the way you like it at 28 before the top of the hour. Don't forget, we're giving away the free DVD Blu-ray of the movie Risen. If you want to be in the running for it, all you got to do is drop me an email, bill@billmartinezlive.com. James Antle III is with us. He's the Washington Examiner's politics editor, previously managing editor of the Daily Caller. James, it's always good to have you with us here on Bill Martinez Live. How you doing, sir?
Good to be here, Bill.
Hey, what's the big takeaway after yesterday's big meeting, the Kumbaya Fest, between one Paul Ryan and Donald Trump?
Yeah, I mean, I guess now we're at a point where it's not if Paul Ryan will endorse Donald Trump, it's probably more when. Mm-hmm. You know, the meeting, by all accounts, seemed to go fairly well. Ryan wasn't going to do an immediate endorsement. It would look kind of silly given the way he positioned himself beforehand. But, you know, eventually they're going to have to unite because a lot of down-ballot Republicans, frankly, need Trump to at least do fairly well or they will be hurt by him. I mean, oftentimes there isn't enough ticket splitting for you to do much better than 5 or 10 points, better than the guy at the top of the ticket. Mm-hmm. So for the sake of the majority, there's going to need to be some degree of unifying, even if people continue to have serious disagreements.
And there's a lot writing here. I mean, you know, they're talking as many as 4 Chief Justice nominations.
Right.
We're talking about some, you know, some basic conservative issues that when you look at it just on its face, even though people would like to suggest that Donald Trump or, I mean, forget about suggesting, I mean, they've been out blatant about it, just saying he's really not a conservative. But yet the values that he espouses on some of the key issues, they are, in fact, very conservative.
Right. I mean, he's clearly more conservative than Hillary Clinton, and you have a 0% chance of getting any conservative justices appointed under Clinton, even if you think Trump is unreliable, and he is certainly unpredictable. You have a much better than 0% chance of conservative justices being nominated by Trump. Mm-hmm. You know, I think what a lot of Republican leaders are really going to be looking for when they meet with Trump is, is Trump serious about doing the things that he needs to do to win in November? And I think if the answer to that question, they come away feeling that the answer is yes, they themselves will come around to supporting him.
I think the other thing, too, that is waiting in the wings, and that is a lot of money that Trump could potentially bring into play here to help the downline. And he says he's got some big money donors just waiting. But, you know, they want to, I guess they're drawing pause right now just to see how this stuff works out. But I'm sure if you get a phone call by Donald Trump, this guy's going to be a money-raising machine to strike the band.
You'd think so. And he's going to probably need to be because Trump's relationships with a lot of the more conventional Republican donors aren't very tight. You know, there's a lot of sort of tepid feelings about him among the GOP donor base. He ran against a lot of the people who've raised money for the Republican establishment over the last few years. So there's some bruised feelings from the primary that's going to keep some money sitting on the sidelines, at least for a little while. So Trump is going to need to hit his business connections pretty hard and also to ride hard a lot of the right's antipathy toward Hillary Clinton. Are these donors really going to continue to sit on the sidelines if we, in fact, have a competitive race against Clinton?
Exactly. Well, and the other thing, too, that we've got to consider here, Jim, is that, you know, is it the nature of politics? We've seen this time and time again. I mean, you can be at each other's throats. In fact, we were talking earlier with Jeffrey Lord. He wrote a column about, you know, Paul Ryan, you know, taking a lesson from one former presidential candidate, Jack Kemp. And what Jack did, I mean, he didn't, you know, he knew he was the conservative following in the Ronald Reagan, you know, domain and frame. But then George H.W. gets the nomination and he backs him. He backs him 110%. You know, if people have spoken, he went along with it. And, of course, some people have said that when H.W. was elected, that really did end, you know, the Reagan agenda. And, you know, when you look at it, you go, OK, it's kind of hard to argue against that. You know, here we are. We've got an opportunity to right the ship, possibly. And when it still comes down to the economy and jobs and business, you know, people are, you know, forget about maybe Trump's insensitivity and some of his language. You know, people are still voting with their pocketbook.
Yeah, and Trump's numbers on things like how he would handle the economy and how he would handle national security are fairly good. It's his personal favorable ratings that are low and that are bad. And, you know, and maybe voters will vote more on those issues than they'll vote on their personal assessment of the candidates. You know, and Hillary Clinton's numbers, frankly, aren't very good. So if the party unifies and he gets the Republican base vote, his numbers aren't really going to be that much worse than Hillary Clinton's, maybe not worse at all. So the unifying process is pretty important in terms of his general election position.
Yeah. And then we have the announcement Jeff Sessions endorsed him today.
Well, Jeff Sessions has been a pretty big supporter of Trump for quite a while. He was one of his first Senate endorsements. A lot of the you know, Stephen Miller, one of Trump's most important staffers, came out of Sessions' office. A lot of people are hoping that Sessions is going to take a firm hand in guiding Trump on immigration and trade policy, you know, that's certainly an interesting and significant development for the campaign.
But, you know, to have Jeff up there, you know, leading the way and appearing with Trump is very positive. And this moves in the direction, you know, to your point of unifying the party. You know, they're starting to come into line. Some of these, you know, as you say, the feelings that some have had, you know, during the process of the campaign, you know, they've got hurt feelings in that. But we've seen it time and time again where, you know, one minute they can be arch enemies, and then for the sake of the party and what they perceive as what's best for the country, they'll set that aside. I mean, look what happened. Case in point, just between Ted Cruz and Carly Fiorina, right?
Right. No, that's absolutely right. It's pretty common for people to make harsh comments in the heat of the campaign and then walk them back and be able to work together after the voting is over. I mean, I don't think Trump did himself any favors with the intensity and the personal nature of some of the attacks that he made, especially, you know, going after Ted Cruz's father so late in the game, right mm-hmm. before Cruz drops out, right before he becomes the presumptive nominee. But, you know, people are going to have to ask themselves whether they're willing to live with Hillary Clinton as president. If they are not, Trump is really the only viable option they're going to have.
Exactly. Well, and he said that he can dial it back. And, you know, he has done that from time to time. And the thing that's, you know, a little confusing at times is you start wanting to hope and believe that he's dialing it back, and then he'll come up with some, you know, some other zinger. And I don't know if it's just because he figures, well, I need to, you know, juice the headlines a little bit. And, you know, right. the media is right there. I mean, case in point, you know, they were following him in his plane. And I was just waiting for, you know, a slow Bronco chase yesterday, you know, to kind of finish up that whole meeting with he and Paul Ryan. You know,
right? You know, Trump comes from the tabloid culture, so he believes in a different way of generating headlines than the safe way most politicians favor.
So, what does your crystal ball say here, Jim? If I can put you in the crystal ball mode for just a moment,
I think you know the next 10 weeks are really important. I think if Trump can boost his numbers in the next 10 weeks, he's got a good shot at it.
Well, Jim Antle, Washington Examiner's politics editor, previously managing editor of the Daily Caller, associate editor of the American Spectator, and senior writer for the American Conservative. James, as always, thank you so much for being with us and for the insight. Some good stuff here. 19 minutes before the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size for incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency. Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Get the gift of opportunity. Donate to The Y at ymca.net/give. The Y, for a better us.
I grew up in a family with 9 kids. I must have been the fastest eater because I was the only one that was chubby. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. When I was growing up, almost no one was overweight. I've maintained my weight pretty well since then. As I get older, the 10-2-1-2 weight loss system is making it much easier to control my weight. It curbs my appetite, gives me energy, and even improves my mood. Maybe 10-2-1-2 could help you. Go to ilikethewayilook.com and check it out for yourself. That's ilikethewayilook.com.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? Well, at Go Martinez Live, our healthy body weight loss system simply nitrifies the body, bringing down cravings. It's been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com, Longevity, or call 855-305-8326. Again, 855-305-8326.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
You've reached Bill Martinez Live.
Easy to work. Up antenna, switch on, press talk button, and you broadcast from room to room and even house to house.
For Spanish, press 2.
Porque todos cuentan en el formulario del censo, especialmente los niños. Así ayudas a que tengamos más cosas en nuestra comunidad, como centros de cuidado, escuelas y más.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane.
Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, the one and only cape and all, able to leap tall buildings. I'm telling you, it is an absolute mess. Some days, you know, you just feel like you just can't quite make it. But, hey, I thank you so much for putting up with me. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, America. It's Bill Martinez, live. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. And if you want to be in the running for that movie, Risen, which was released yesterday on digital format, going to be released DVD and Blu-ray come May the 24th, but you can have it free. All you got to do is say, hey, Martinez, put me in the running. Send me an email, bill at billmartinezlive.com. We'll hook you up and get you all ready to go. All right, if you are a fan of The Rough and Tumble and Teddy Roosevelt, the one, the only, you're in for a real treat here. We've got Mark Lee Gardner with us. His just released book, Rough Riders, Theodore Roosevelt, His Cowboy Regiment, and The Immortal Charge Up San Juan Hill. Mark, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm very good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thank you. I mean, what a great book. I love TR. And, you know, you did such a great job with this. And I know some people are saying, another Teddy Roosevelt book? Why?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the thing is that I think that all the qualities that we kind of associate with Roosevelt, you really find with him in, you know, as leader of the Rough Riders. But the reason for this book is that I found letters and primary sources that haven't been available to other historians. So it really helps me kind of give a you are there telling of this momentous event in American history.
Well, here it is. I mean, hey, today he could fly into Cuba. You know, thank you very much, President Barack Obama. Back in those days. A little bit of a different program here, you know. We had to drive the Spanish from Cuba. You know, you think Fidel and somebody would send us a thank you card for that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, some of the Rough Riders were actually very upset with Fidel in the 1950s.
Yeah, I bet.
After all the work they had done in 1898.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, but as we know, things change, and a long time
ago,
now we got to, but let's talk about this new information that you were able to discover, you know, for this new book, Rough Riders.
Yeah, well, you know, many, just like soldiers in wartime, you write letters home to your family and loved ones, and so the Rough Riders did that, many of them did, but the difference then from now is a proud parent or a sister or an aunt and uncle, they walked down to the local newspaper office and said, hey, I got this letter from my Rough Rider brother or Rough Rider son, and it was published in the local paper. So I found letters in every area these Rough Riders came from, so Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, because today we have this great thing called the Internet, and they've scanned millions of newspaper pages, and it's a very simple process to search these early newspapers and find these wonderful letters that were very descriptive about both Roosevelt and their experiences in Cuba.
Yeah, the thing that's so cool about reading this book is there's no political correctness in it. Shame on you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll try to do better next time.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I mean, you know, but it's the 21st century. We got to move it up a little bit. But no, it's absolutely refreshing because there's no political correctness. It's just what it is. They were rough for a reason, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, it was 1898. It was a different time. You know, you certainly, you know, they call it presentism. You can't put your own morals and values on people from the 1890s. But I also think that they had many, many good qualities. I mean, Roosevelt was really an inspiring figure. His men loved him. One guy said he'd follow him to hell and back. And you know, I think it's an uplifting story. Myself, and also, you know, the aspect of the different, for instance, the Buffalo soldiers, the African-American soldiers that fought with the Rough Riders. I mean, when they're in Cuba, even though the army is segregated, those guys are sharing blankets.
Yes.
They're fighting together. I think those moments, to me, are really some of the most interesting.
Yeah, and they weren't fighting over bathrooms, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to know this, okay? I mean, this is about getting the job done, no political correctness. Teddy Roosevelt was a man's man, and when you consider, you know, his frail upbringing, and by frail, I mean, he just dealt with a lot of illnesses and that sort of thing. And so on the other side of this adversity as a child growing up, you have this man's man.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, he suffered asthma attacks that were truly terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
But he survived that. He built up his body with the encouragement of his father. You know, he took boxing lessons. He was a real supporter of, you know, this term called manliness, which people kind of laugh at now. But, you know, he thought people should experience the outdoors. They should be athletic. And most of all, he felt like if it was a just war, that every American should serve their country. And he was 39 years old, had a family, but he was first in line. He wanted to go and serve his country, and he did.
Well, the thing that is inspiring, in contrast with today, when TR went to war, it was about winning. I mean, there was an objective, it was clear, and this is why the men were excited to follow him, because, you know, as you anecdotally related with the one member who said, hey, I'd go to hell and back with him, because they trusted him, right?
They did, and, you know, you'll probably remember from the book, there were a couple occasions where the commanding general was thinking about retreating or falling back from San Juan Heights,
mm-hmm.
and Roosevelt actually said, I'm not sure whether I'd obey that order or not. I mean... Men died taking that hill,
mm-hmm.
And it would be all for naught if they withdrew. Fortunately, the commanding general thought better, and they did not withdraw. But that's, you're right. That's the kind of man he was. It's like, we took this hill, and we're staying on this hill. We're not going to give it back to the Spaniards.
Well, and the thing is that people need to hold into perspective here. This was a volunteer army. I mean, for these men to follow, and this is before President Roosevelt, this is Teddy Roosevelt, but he was so passionate and such a great leader and could give them a vision that they said, hey, you know what? I'm with you. I'm all in.
Yeah, and the other thing that's surprising to me, you know, today compared to that time, there were literally tens of thousands of men who rushed to enlist and fight in that war. Now, of course, the big rallying cry was remember the Maine. The Maine had exploded in Havana Harbor, and 266 Americans lost their lives. But there were tens of thousands of men who rush to enlist and to fight and, mm-hmm. and to serve their country.
You know, when you think of Cuba today and what it's gone through, we mentioned, you know, Fidel Castro, the Castro brothers. And, of course, we're trying to make nice. We're setting up a relationship with them again. Ships are starting to land there in Cuba, you know, for commerce and, you know, for vacations and that. What's been lost in translation? As you mentioned earlier that back in the 50s, there were surviving Rough Riders that said, whoa, wait a minute here.
Yeah, well, I think the thing to remember, and that the Spanish-American War is one of our most forgotten wars anyway, but this war, it was not just about the Maine, but many at the time called it a war for humanity. Cubans were fighting for their independence from Spain. It was Cuba Libre. And there was much sympathy in the United States for these independence fighters. And in fact, there were Cubans in the United States lobbying the American government to enter the war, to intervene. And, you know, I mentioned this in the book, but Owen Wister, who was a good friend of Roosevelt, he said, you know, if these atrocities against the Cubans had been happening, you know, thousands of miles away, it might not have been that big a deal, but this was just off our shore.
Yeah, 90 miles
really
away, right?
Ignore it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
so,
go ahead.
Anyway, I mean, this was a war to end these atrocities and to win independence for Cuba.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, we knew what happened out of there is that there wasn't enough spirit, you know, to really hold it together. And that's the problem, you know, I often find in reading history, Mark, is that you look back and again, it helps you appreciate just how exceptional. And I know there's some people and some academics that just cringe whenever you line up exceptional with America. But I don't know what else to call it when you think about what our founding fathers did. They put their treasure, they put their lives, their honor, their sacred honor, all on the line for what we enjoy today. And there's so many other countries who've tried to do the same, including Cuba, parts of it that just see us 90 miles away. I mean, they could see that shining light on the hill that Ronald Reagan talked about and saying, why them? Why not us?
Yeah. Well, and you know, I think it is forgotten that, you know, Roosevelt, the Rough Riders, and the rest of the Army, and, of course, the Americans in Washington, a lot of Americans died, you know, to bring this freedom to Cuba. And I think that's forgotten. Now, there are a few monuments in Cuba today on San Juan Hill, but we've had a very long relationship with that island. It's a fascinating place. And I hope my book will bring out, you know, our role in Cuba's history. And it's a very significant role at that.
Well, no question. It would be refreshing if academia picked it up because the kids are learning all about these other things, you know, the communist way of life and the oppression, and they make it, you know, they're turning those that did that into heroes, and they're forgetting a hero like T.R.
Yeah, and the thing is that he really was a hero, and I try to make that clear in my book. You know, he was recommended for the Medal of Honor by all his commanding officers. He was denied it at the time for political reasons, and he had upset the Secretary of War, and he finally did get it in 2001. But yeah, these guys, I mean, I really do consider them heroes, and you know, I consider Roosevelt the biggest hero of them all down there.
And the only president to be the recipient of the Medal of Honor, right?
That's correct. He's the only president to receive the Medal of Honor. He's also the only individual in history to receive both the Medal of Honor and the Nobel Peace Prize.
Wow, amazing. Well, Mark, thank you so much for the book. Remind everybody, we got about 15 seconds left where they can get their hands on it, because they will want to get their hands on Rough Riders.
Yeah, you can get it online or at your local store. I mean, there's HarperCollins.com, there's Amazon, Barnes & Noble. But, you know, it was just released, and I've seen it in bookstores myself already, so I know it's out there.
Well, and you'll see it featured on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Mark Lee Gardner on Bill Martinez. Thank you, Mark.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Join me, George Norrie, at Joshua Tree, California, June 3rd through the 6th for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, a weekend of exploration into ancient aliens, human origins, crop circles, UFO sightings, and new evidence of ongoing contact. Featuring Graham Hancock, Giorgio Tsoukalos, David Wilcock, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and Eric Von Doniken, and so many more. For information, go to contactinthedesert.com, contactinthedesert.com, or 760-365-8371.